2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hello, and welcome to Easy Being Green, the podcast where we talk about the planet, its health, and how we can make it better. I'm Taylor Powers. Here's Deanne Tetzel, my co-host. And today's episode, we're talking about energy demand.
How we can affect energy demand in our homes and
workplaces. Because essentially, energy is all accessed from a grid where, whether it's from coal or gas, and then renewables that come into effect. And there's peak hours and there's low hours, and energy is still being used. Demand never really changes. There's the same amount of demand, but the times of day change. Because you think about, when we're all awake, that's going to be the highest use. And talking about how we can make behavioral shifts to try to do our part to balance that demand.
Exactly. Rebalancing the demand. Just if we all choose to maybe not run so many of our kind of energy sucking appliances at the same time, then those peak hours, it'll shift it all out. And Taylor was mentioning, rebalance that demand. So,
yeah, because you think about it and it's, the traditional energy that we have, it's available anytime we want it, though it does release a ton of greenhouse gas emissions. But things like solar are dependent on the sun and wind, dependent on wind, all these other factors that play into it. And the biggest issue there is storage, being able to store that energy for when it's needed, not just when it's available.
Exactly. Yeah, because so the renewable energy, like Taylor's mentioning, is we don't have any control over because it's affected by Mother Nature and what's happening. But we do have control over timing when it comes to how we access and utilize the biggest energy users in our own homes. Plus, it'll save you a little money.
Yes, that is such a good incentive.
Right.
I was thinking that there should be like an incentive program that, really is, it's almost like an app that you use to control your own emissions, your own carbon footprint, and what you're using in your home or day to day, and you track everything, almost like a fitness, like a health plan or like a diet app.
Yeah.
And you get points and you save money. I think that would be really cool.
It makes sense. And I think there, in some of the reading that I've done, there are obviously incentives out there now.
Yeah, for sure.
But more and more, the government and, the EPA are looking at things like this where they can incent people to really make choices as far as this goes. And then, like we're saying, the benefit is that it will also make a difference in your pocketbook. So there are smart meters, which you can look into as far as kind of getting real-time information about how much of your energy is being used and when. Mm-hmm. So you can make better decisions about that. But you can also kind of just be aware that, okay, I'm usually doing my laundry in the evening and then my dishwasher's on at the same time.
Yeah.
And if you can balance that out, like just leave the dishwasher and maybe run it really early in the morning when you wake up turn it on before you go to sleep or something like that. And that can, just those little choices can make a difference in our energy usage and then the emissions that we're emitting. Yeah.
I mean, it's not as convenient, obviously, to have to think about every single thing that you do in, say your morning getting ready routine. When I turn on the heat in the morning, but then I need to blow dry my hair. It's like, okay, well, why don't I not turn on the heat because the blow dryer is going to warm me anyway.
True.
Just blow dry my hair, and then if I'm still cold, then maybe go for the fireplace or then turn on the heat, but just wait so that not everything is overlapping, because that increases the demand quite a bit.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, too, because we're such creatures of habit. In our own homes, we want to feel like, well, I'm in control here, and I can have my heat turned up so that I'm comfortable. Right. I'm going to be blow-drying my hair, and I may be, you know, running the dishwasher, whatever. But if we can just think a little bit before we flip that switch or whatever and think, oh, do I really need this right now? And while I'm doing this, I can turn this off or whatever.
Right. Kind of like when you do turn on the blow dryer, you see your lights flicker a little bit. It's like, okay, that's using quite a bit of energy.
That's, yeah, kind of a...
Oh, so the New York Times article that Deanna and I read that kind of sparked the interest in this topic, they linked a appliance energy calculator. It's on the Department of Energy's website, and it's really, really cool. So you go onto this website, and it has a calendar, a calculator, and it lists all the different appliances, and then you can customize it to the preferences of your own home. So say your microwave is a, you know, it has a different wattage than the custom microwave. You can go enter that information, how many hours a day you use it, and how many days a year you use it. And then it will give you your total annual wattage and the cost that you're paying for it based on, then in the calculator, there's a spot to say per watt how much you pay. So you'll have to go onto your local utility bill to look for that. But it was so cool. I spent way too much time on it, just going through and looking at each appliance. I had no idea how much they varied.
And I like what you were saying a few minutes ago about thinking of it as your diet plan or your health plan.
Yeah.
Think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
How can I, maybe you look at it today, you make some of these choices we're talking about, and then in 6 months you look at it again and see,
have
you know, how, what impact have I made?
Yeah. For sure. Because, yeah, as we always say, every little bit helps. So if you can look at your carbon diet, go through all of those appliances, figure out what you are putting out annually, and then, you know, make a goal to reduce it by however much by the next year. And get with your friends or family and make it like a fun thing to track.
Yeah.
It would be really cool.
And even see, you know, is this making a difference in my energy bill? Because
For sure.
That's just a side benefit. We're all kind of doing our part to make a difference out there in helping the planet. But there's also that added benefit of you can save yourself some money. So
that's always a nice little boost.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I did read a stat, and I don't want this to defer anyone, but the 0.05% release, I forget the exact percentage, but a considerable amount of the gas carbon emissions, and unfortunately, those tend to be the people that don't care about incentives, that don't really care about anything except for their... And I'm making a total generalization, you know. I mean, there are plenty of people in that 0.05% that are doing what they can. They're donating, they're you know, using their platform to do good. But there's also a lot of people in that range that have private jets or, you know, purchase so many clothes in a year that it's kind of out of control. So it really does make a difference what you do yourself in the local level.
And there are some states and countries around the world as well are looking at, they realize that changing these kinds of patterns that we have, it's not easy to do. There are incentives more and more that we're looking at that the government and energy providers are looking at, with smart technology, with, basically saving you money on your bill, that kind of thing. And then it's kind of this time of use pricing. So it's exactly what we're talking about, like changing the shift in when we put the demand on the energy. So I think California and Illinois are two states that are already have that. So there's an incentive already there that your energy will be cheaper to use if you use it in off-peak hours. France, Spain, and Finland, and a few other countries are doing this as well. So the governments are already, and energy providers are saying, hey, look, this is going to benefit us all, and we'll help send this back to you in terms of saving you money. So,
and, you know, not only incentive programs, but grid parity is it's what occurs when alternative energy can generate power at a cost and performance level equal to or less than electricity generated from conventional methods. And solar and wind have already reached parity in both their price and performance. And so it's becoming more commonplace for a lot of regions to realize this and then try to establish it to make it more attainable for everyone. And the biggest thing there is energy storage, which I mentioned. And a lot of these storage methods are going to be through batteries, which are not as attainable. And so that's going to be the biggest challenge, is this energy storage for renewables, because it's already cost-effective energy, you know, effective.
But how do we harness it?
Yes,
how do
exactly. Keep it and be able to utilize it all the time. And so that's going to be the next thing, is figuring out the battery, the storage situation. But then also, like you mentioned, the smart technology, AI, and microgrids are going to be a big part of that, especially as this technology keeps growing, because AI is going to, you know, it's continuously adapting to improve the operation. So I think as technology keeps getting, you know, more honed in on these kind of systems, it's going to be really interesting to see how quickly renewables take off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not take off, but become more.
Mm-hmm. We can figure out how to utilize the energy that they're pulling in, and again,
you know,
harness it.
There's definitely a lot of scary circumstances out there and scenarios, but. But when you look at everyone trying to make a difference, trying to harness this energy and figure out how to pretty much save the planet, there's a lot of inspiration and hope.
That's how I feel. It's easy to get discouraged when you read some of this and hear some of, you know, the things that are going on. But at the same time, there's a lot of energy and a lot of money and a lot of attention being turned to this issue as well. And, you know, some of the other things, we've talked about this in previous episodes, but make the simple choices around your house. Mm-hmm. If it's time to purchase a new appliance, look at, you know, for an Energy Star symbol. Look at the smart thermostats. That can help a lot in saving energy and not using it when your house doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to think about it a whole lot. You need to spend the initial money for it, but you also there are rebates on lots of these products too. So turn down your water heater a little bit. Use a smart power strip that you can turn off kind of those vampire
energy electronics
that are sucking energy just by being plugged in. So
there's just tons of little things that you can do.
A few
do
of
to
these
help.
These choices that you can look at in your home and along with these kinds of daily choices and decisions. So
yeah, definitely. I actually just moved into a new house and the water is so much hotter than my old place. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how hot water could get. I gotta go turn it down
a little. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, tons of things you can do to make your difference and do your part. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.